under 1006 Dave Kaufman in for Leslie. You can follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. And a really interesting subject coming up with our next guest. She's a leading expert on the subject of weight gain and says that the issue is extremely complex and that pressuring obese people can do much more harm than good. Let's welcome Fatima Cody Stanford, Instructor of Medicine and Pediatrics at Harvard University. Thanks so much for joining this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I think would pressuring obese people, would that in layman's terms, would that be fat shaming?
Well, first of all, I want to change a little bit of your language. So we never refer to patients as obese people. Rather, they have the disease of obesity.
Sure.
This language is really can be inflammatory. And one of the things that we do with regards to obesity, as opposed to other chronic disease issues such as diabetes or high blood pressures, is we refer to them as obese person as opposed to a person with obesity. So first, I want to change that language. But yes, we do know that persons that have received issues regarding bias or stigma related to their weight are more likely to have negative health consequences associated with such bias and stigma that they experience on a daily basis.
So what are some of those stigmas?
So stigma, the assumption that persons that have obesity have a poor diet quality, that they are inactive, that they've chosen to have this disease process. A lot of these things are false. We do know that obesity is 60 to 70% heritable, meaning that if you have parents that have obesity, the likelihood that you indeed yourself will struggle with obesity despite your best efforts is pretty high. We also know that there's several different factors that play a role in someone's likelihood of having obesity that are outside of the realm of just the diet quality and physical activity. For example, maybe you're prescribed a medication by your physician that is considered to be a weight-promoting drug, meaning a drug that causes weight gain. Those things are things that we can't easily mitigate. And so there are a lot of assumptions that are placed on these patients that they really are kind of asking for this condition as opposed to recognizing that it is a disease process that persons suffer from.
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking back to you correcting me off the top, and I appreciate it. It's not like somebody who's tall and they are tall. This is not, it's not an automatic. It can change or it could be medically related. It could be, there are a million reasons why someone may be overweight. And it's, I think perhaps one of the assumptions that those who aren't overweight, they make unfair assumptions as to why somebody is, right?
Exactly. And I think this is something that I see with my patients on a daily basis. I mean, I have patients that come into my office that are also people that work out at my gym, I think much healthier fare than most persons. But the assumption is that when that person happens to weigh 350 pounds walks into my office, that they're really not giving it a valiant effort. What a lot of people don't see is that that person that is 350 pounds now in my office may have been 550 pounds before.
Right.
So we have a 200-pound loss, so really to say that, you know, they haven't tried, you know, is really, you know, inaccurate at best. And just recognizing that their struggles are such that I have to hone in on what's going on individually with that patient to try to create the most sustainable change.
In conversation with Fatima Cody Stanford, Instructor of Medicine and Pediatrics at Harvard University. Can you tell me about your talk, Obesity, It's More Complex Than You Think?
Absolutely. So I just gave a big lecture at the Radcliffe Institute for Advancement here at Harvard, where I really spoke to the general public, an audience of a little over 300, really explaining to them the complexity of obesity, recognizing that it's really the central nervous system, meaning the brain, that regulates weight. And there are different factors that are both inside of you and exterior to you that contribute to your likelihood of having obesity. One thing that people don't recognize is that people that have obesity compared to lean individuals like myself have different bacteria, for example, in their gut. One of the reasons that they may struggle with obesity is because that bacteria difference in the gut can lead to differences in body fat distribution. We talked about certain issues, but for example, just being maltreated as a child or having a history of trauma can have significant impacts on how the brain regulates stress and then how the brain regulates weight. So these are complex you know, etiologies of how someone may develop obesity. And my goal is to figure out not only how they develop their obesity, but how do I treat the obesity that they now struggle with.
Well, and I guess that's really what it's about is when you see somebody come into your office who weighs 500 pounds, it's unrealistic to say, okay, we're going to get you down to 175 and life's going to be okay. It's just not
exactly.
That easy.
It is not that easy. If it were, then I would stop my job right now.
Right. Well, all the cool sculpting yeah. in the world isn't going to do that, right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely. So I think that the key thing is recognizing that, you know, people have different degrees of obesity. We have mild, moderate, and severe obesity. Those that have more severe obesity, obviously, it's a much larger hurdle to overcome. Persons that struggle with that extreme level of weight. But regardless of what the struggle is, even persons that have very mild obesity may have significant psychological stress surrounding that obesity. And sometimes I find have psychological stressors and need more psychological intervention with my psychologist here at Harvard than maybe those that have more severe obesity. So, you know, it's really, like I say, personalizing the treatment and the conversation to that individual, recognizing that their struggles are going to be different from one person to the next, despite what appears to be a lot of similarities on the surface.
Are we seeing more of an acceptance of less of a stigma through pop culture, through whether it's famous actors who are not of the standard weight that we're used to seeing, or musicians? Does that help a little bit? No.
Unfortunately, I think that we actually just completed a 25-page paper that explored just this issue on media influences and obesity. So I would say that no, we're not seeing a shift. For example, shows that are very popular here in the United States that I think have gotten national or international.
I'm thinking about This Is Us.
Yeah, so This Is Us.
Yeah.
This Is Us. I don't think that they do an excellent job of covering the topic of obesity with, you know, the actress that struggles with very severe obesity in that space. And so what it does is reinforce the notion that she must be I've seen the show, it reinforces the idea that someone that has severe obesity, all of them have what this quote-unquote food addiction, mm-hmm. And because of their food addiction that they have obesity. So, you know, I think that, you know, if I were working with the producers of the show, I would try to change their thought process with regards to how they specifically deal with the issue of Kate and her struggles throughout life. I think that they are attempting to cover a really challenging topic, but they need to have persons that are well-versed in how to cover that information to really get across the best messaging to the public.
Well, yeah, because it's, again, it's not something that everybody comes across in their daily lives. And often, you know, sometimes pop culture can really hurt in those instances, and sometimes they can be of benefit. And I'm sorry
Absolutely.
To hear that it's not doing that, because, my goodness, everybody talks about that show.
Right. I appreciate that they're trying to broach the topic. I just think that we can continue to do a significantly better job to make sure the right messaging is coming across. Shows like The Biggest Loser, I think, do a poor job. There are a lot of shows that are out there that really alter how we think about weight and weight regulation, but don't support what we do know. And there's a lot that we don't know, but there's a lot we do know, and these shows aren't really great at educating the public. And so I really think we need to do a better job.
Fatima Cody Stanford, really appreciate your time this morning. Instructor of Medicine and Pediatrics at Harvard University. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Thank you. It's 10.